Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to Paranexus Universe. Today is Thursday, December 18th, 2008, just 1 week away from Christmas. This is Doug Kelly, your host, here with my good friend and co-host Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Happy holidays. Welcome.
Yeah. Boy, this year went fast, didn't it?
Yeah. It goes fast when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, it went colder. Yeah, the faster it goes. That's right. Well, we'd like to welcome everybody to the show tonight. In just a moment, we're going to be talking with Michael Kellerman about alternative health therapies. Interesting guy. I had a chance to meet him last weekend, so we'll get the inside scoop there. Wanted to just let you know that we will be able to take your questions in the chat room as well as on the phone lines if you want to call in. The number is on your screen, 347-945-7799. Excuse me. Yeah, that's what I said, 7799. I'm going to put it in the chat room here, too. And we'd love to take your calls. There's also a click the talk button on your screen if you have a computer and a headset. Wanted to just remind everybody some of the changes we're making at Paranexus. We're always, always developing Paranexus, always evolving, changing different things and adjusting and increasing and improving and on and on. And just tonight, just today, I've finally finished the founding paranormal investigator certification course. I have renamed it though to so that we don't conflict with some of the upcoming courses that we'll have. So just change it slightly. It's now going to be called the leading paranormal investigator certification course. The designation will be CLPI instead of CFPI, and that should be available for enrollment tomorrow morning or even later tonight once we get past the radio program. So that's done. That's been many months in coming, and it's a pretty comprehensive leadership and management program for paranormal research group founders and leaders. So take a look at that. Another thing that we are doing, we have in the works, is the Paranexus Field Investigator Program. I've announced that a couple of weeks ago in the newsletter and got some interest. And what we're doing is we are putting together a course in ufology as well as advanced interview techniques. We're going to combine that with an adjusted course on parapsychology, and we're going to start getting people out in the field everywhere all around the world who want to be Paranexus field investigators. Start to build that network up and also try to get some cases and some submissions and things like that that we can assign out. So we're happy about that. That's exciting. That should be coming not too long after the first of the year. We're trying to get it rolled out as soon as possible. So I just want to let you know about that. If you're not a member of Paranexus, we'd love to have you as a member. We have lowered the membership fees and view of the economy and so forth, $20 per year. And we'd love to have you. Just stop by paranexus.org, and there's some information there. Also, we're looking for those of you who like to write. If you have an article and you'd like to submit it for the newsletter or for the journal, which is due out in January, we'd love to get it. So let us know. Information is at paranexus.org as well. All right, without any further ado, tonight's guest is Michael Kellerman. He is into alternative therapies, and rather than read a bio, I'm going to let Michael kind of tell us about how he got into that. Michael, welcome to Paranexus Universe.
Thanks, Doug.
Welcome. It's nice to have you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, we really appreciate you coming into this and talking about this. It's an interesting topic, and there's a lot of questions. So let's start with that. How did you get involved in alternative health therapies?
Well, it started a number of years ago. Around the time I was about 25, I ended up meeting somebody who had a meditation circle, and you know, we had some pretty in-depth conversations about consciousness, and it just really kind of fascinated me. And up to that time, I really hadn't had that much exposure to metaphysical things. You know, my mom had taken some courses when I was younger, so, you know, that energy was around, but I had never really explored it in depth. So I was offered to come and meditate with these people, and I said, oh, sure, that sounds great, you know. And I showed up there, and it was just an amazing experience. I met many, many gifted people there, you know, people who had psychic abilities. And I ended up running into this one lady, and she said, you know, I'm supposed to work with you. And I said, okay. You know, I really didn't even question her that much. It was just something internally I felt a connection, and that was it. So I ended up doing an energetic healing session that uses breath, and it's called Rebirthing. Leonard Orr brought back to the United States here back in the 70s, I believe. But got into the session and started doing some deep circular breathing and had a massive emotional release. And shortly thereafter, I just felt this shift. And you know, I was very telepathic for a few days. I would think of somebody and they would call me. And these are people I hadn't spoken to in like 4 or 5 years. And it really didn't dawn on me until like the third or fourth person called me as to what was going on. And for like 3 days, I was having conscious out-of-body experiences. And I was just like, what is going on? You know? So after that three-day time period, those things started diminishing, and I had to know why. Why were these abilities awakened and experienced for such a short window of time? Why didn't they remain open and functioning? And so that led me to, you know, reading and researching anything metaphysical I could get my hands on that would help me to explain this state of consciousness. And so, roughly after about 5 years after that, my uncle, who's an electrical engineer, was telling me about remote viewing. And, you know, they're explaining how people, through this process, are able to tap into a certain state and access information beyond space and time. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of interesting. It's, you know, sounds kind of similar, but not so much. So I started investigating that, and was pretty amazed at, you know, the things that I was reading about, you know, especially one individual stood out to me, and that was Ingo Swann, mm-hmm. In all of his work at Stanford Research Institute.
He's pretty famous for that.
Yeah, and in some of his materials, they were talking about their use of some ancient Vedic technology called the Mahatma's Mirror. And what that basically does is acts as a capacitor, and you meditate in this, and it starts awakening these dormant potentials. And so he kind of loosely describes, you know, its construction, and so I felt inside that, you know, I need to build this. And so $1,500 later, I'm meditating in this thing for 4 to 5 hours a day for like a month. And I started experiencing, you know, conscious out-of-body travel again. You know, I would go into the hypnagogic state and kind of like, you know, fall out and then come back to or awaken back into what appeared to be the same environment. But I would go to speak and balls of light would come out of my mouth. And so I was relaying.
I want what he's having.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
I want
what
he's having.
You're drinking.
yeah, it was a pretty amazing experience. And so that just kept on, you know, driving me more and more to really try to understand the nature of consciousness and reality in which we're having this experience. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
So tell me, you had a near-death experience.
Right.
And that was, so what you're talking about here actually was happening before your near-death experience, which was just a few years ago, correct?
Yeah, in 2001, actually. Those were, you know, all those events preceded that. And in my mind, I was kind of preparing me for this next experience. I would talk to my uncle again, and he had talked about a radio show that he was listening to, and they were talking about their use of certain of an ancient elixir that they use in South America to facilitate a death experience to merge with God again. And I said, wow. I said, well, I would really like to do that. You know, I've got some questions I want answered. And so we ended up making this elixir, and that was it. I mean, just all of the veils of illusion kind of just dissipated and, you know, took me straight into that space that was, I'd like to call it like the background in which everything is happening and from which everything emerges out of. And, you know, it was just a point of consciousness in this infinite sea of awareness. And then at a certain point, even that was no longer, because there was no system to process any information any longer, which that's basically what our energetic structure is doing. That's what our central nervous system is doing. It's, you know, bringing us vibratory information and constructing what we're perceiving as reality.
So in the alternative therapies, is it safe to say that it's a lot of what you do is energy work?
Correct. It's working with the energy field that surrounds and interpenetrates the human body.
Can you discuss that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, it's really nothing new. I mean, you know, if we go into, you know, the Chinese acupuncture, you know, it's all based on these energy flows and energy pathways in the body, and that are actually pathways for flows of information that are beyond the physical body. So let's say these pathways are like transducing or bringing like a point of observation to have experience, and all of these other energy fields which comprise this energy field that surrounds the body, it opens up all those flows to that place beyond time and space where everything is just in potential. So like the blueprint for your physical structure and its functioning is in that state. And so basically by opening those meridians or those energy flows, it maintains your physical structure and your mental and emotional aspects of your being, which are outside of your physical body.
So how would one know if the energy is out of whack?
Well, normally feeling depression, just feeling out of sorts, lethargic, you know, no sense of clarity or inner peace and balance. And that's normally caused by stress and the mental and emotional domains that are beyond the physical. And so when they become imbalanced, it obstructs that information flow and actually starts making the physical body sorry, I'm just trying to think.
No, that's okay, because that makes sense. You know, even medical science, as you well know, Michael, says that the body is always trying to remain in a state of homeostasis.
Homeostasis, yep.
It's always trying to maintain that balance. And so, to me, that's really an interesting concept when you think of the fact that spiritually and physically you're trying to maintain the balance. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody in our audience can see that, hey, if it's important the way that it is now and we're not taking into the spiritual concept, that's got to be just as important to a person's health, overall health.
Absolutely. I mean, and more, especially with the advent of, you know, quantum physics, I mean, we're really looking into what brings about this physical structure for our experience. And so, you know, by taking it into those deeper realms, we're really beginning to understand how we function and the importance of that information flow. I mean, look at chiropractic, I mean, or again, acupuncture. You know, they're trying to keep those pathways open so you have optimal functioning within your body.
Well, you know, and I think that what you're talking about is not traditional medicine taps into that, but they just don't kind of portray it that way to folks. Because, you know what, any good physician, half of the key to helping somebody with healing, and you know this as a healer, is having them believe that they can get better by whatever you're doing, however you're interacting, whatever intervention you're providing to them. So this isn't, you know, completely outside of traditional medicine, because even traditional medicine knows about the doctor-patient relationship.
Right. And then we go into, you know, like the psychosomatic aspect where the mind is, can influence the physical structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we go into, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton's information on the biology of belief, where thoughts are affecting our physiology. So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah.
That's why stress gets people down. They're stressed.
Absolutely.
That's a belief.
Exactly.
Because you actually have a physiological response to that external stuff that's coming your way. There's no doubt about it. And it's
right.
Whether some people are going to get wound up tighter than a $3 watch as opposed to somebody who can kind of constructively deal with that energy in a different way, whether it's through meditation or however, you know, exercise. Very important, no
right.
doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you look at physical exercise and it's, you know, exerting some energy that may be bound up, you know, that you may be repressing, and so that's an avenue to release that. Or, you know, like you say, coming into meditation, you're stilling everything that's causing that disturbance to begin with.
So what you're really talking about is the spiritual body and the physical body basically being in harmony.
Yeah, I would say, you know, they're everything's unified and it's a whole. And so, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, but,
yeah.
You know, the physicists in that movie are talking about, you know, we're connected at all levels
yeah.
of creation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our fixation on the physical, on, you know, the world of form, that actually can create imbalances in that energy flow through
and the perception of that energy. And the absolute perception of that energy is not a doubt about it. That's absolutely correct.
You know what's amazing to me is that it's kind of interesting, in my opinion, with quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and all that, about, talking about the connectedness and so on and so forth. You know, it's like the metaphysical world and the world of quantum physics are coming together. It's like some of those beliefs and thoughts and some of the Eastern ideas and so forth are now becoming something that mainstream science is looking at as much as they may not have wanted to. It's like bilocation, you know, with quantum mechanics, bilocation. It's the spiritual body. It's like the mind is non-local. You and I were talking about that the other day. And that brings up an interesting thing, too. You know, the spiritual body, is it non-local? Which goes along with the concepts of the soul and spirit and so forth.
Okay.
Interesting to ponder.
Through you know, this near-death experience, if you tap, or you know, I had the experience of tapping into that non-local field. And I don't even really want to call it tapping into as much as it being revealed. So it's for this temporary shift to the background in which everything's taking place on.
Mm-hmm.
And as I approached this expanded state, everything kind of looked like an interference pattern. Much like, I don't know if you ever had, like, you know, tried to wipe your TV screen off, you know, with Windex or something while it's on, and you see all these pixelations, you know, in the moisture that's on the screen. Mm-hmm. And so basically that's what the experience was like, is prior to, you know, merging with everything, there was this perceived projection coming from my point of observation.
Can you tell us about what happened? Do you mind sharing that with your with your NDE?
We had taken the ayahuasca, which is the name of the elixir that the shamans use in South America, and it was an 8-hour journey. We didn't think that we had prepared it properly, but I was sitting on a rug on the floor, and all of a sudden this intense wave of energy kind of washed over me, and the rug started to distort, and at that point I knew we had done whatever we were supposed to do right. And it was the most amazing experience. I felt this intense unconditional love, so intense that it was kind of overwhelming, and there was this purging of some sort that was going on in those mental and emotional domains that was kind of like providing a clearing so I could experience that universal love. It wasn't covered over anymore by my belief structures, so to speak. And it was just this massive opening. It really goes beyond words. And you really are awestruck when you have an experience like that. That's why some of the yogis don't even try to explain it, because it's something that it's a direct experience. Words just cannot convey that experience, unfortunately.
All right.
So that was pretty much it. And after the experience, I had been so open that, my thoughts were kind of like manifesting. That energy was being radiated out, and the universe was responding to that and bringing back my thoughts, reinforcing those thoughts. And it wouldn't be until later on until I connected with some people at Advanced TACAM Technologies that would kind of help me to understand this reality feedback loop, basically, that surrounds us and brings us our experience. And so I ended up having to go see this lady in Toronto who does what's called multidimensional cellular healing. And it's an energetic therapy that taps into superconscious to clear your energy field, basically. Like, as a hypnotherapist, that, consciousness is programmable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, encoding our reality through our beliefs and through our environment, what we're programmed by through our environment, what is our reality. And so I would liken some energetic modalities as modalities that clear these patterns of identification with form. It's our identification with form ultimately that polarizes us and separates us or gives us this sense of alienation from everything. And so by clearing these patterns, that I'd liken it to like clouds covering the sun, those patterns kind of cover up that true spiritual essence that you are. And so by clearing these energies, it's like clearing the clouds, all of a sudden this energy of who you are really emerges.
Well, and it makes perfect sense, even in the everyday life. You get rid of the stress. You're on a roll. You're doing great. You feel good, and then something happens and gets you down. It's like those clouds cover the sun again. I mean, that's just real life. So what's
bringing that state of being bummed out, or what's bringing that state of stress? Our attachments to certain things that ultimately bring that state of being, that state of disharmony, and basically it all revolves around fear.
Oh, yeah.
That's the basis of fear is loss.
Yep, fear of loss. So let's go a direction with this. Want to ask you some... No, you're doing great. This is interesting discussion. I just want to, in light of anomalous research, I want to see what connections there might be. Now, you told me the other day that since your experiences, you consider yourself to be psychically sensitive, correct?
Correct. Very empathic to energy.
Okay.
I would say, I'm not a trained psychic, so to speak, but I definitely have had those, a heightened sense of awareness since that experience.
Okay, so let me, I guess I'm not sure quite how to word this, but have there been any interesting experiences in your experience that could be otherwise attributed to what many people think of as spirit activity or that type of thing? Have you had any of that in your experience?
Well, after, I would say a year after my NDE, I would have certain energies come into my space, and they would feel kind of like malevolent or dark.
Okay.
And not so kind. But the lady that I went to go see in Toronto told me to just acknowledge that presence and, you know, let them know that you know they're there and that you don't need them for your evolution at this time. And that's it. And that's exactly what I did. And I felt these energies kind of recede or just, you know, disappear.
Have you experienced also benevolent energies coming in?
I would have to say yes, not so frequently, other than people on the physical plane.
right.
Bud and Brenda included.
Yeah.
It's just been an amazing experience, you know. It's
okay. Cool. Well, it sounds like.
Wait, can we just go? Can we digress a little bit back to your?
No digressions.
Sure.
Oh, please. Please. So when you had this experience, did you actually go into cardiac arrest, or were you hospitalized, or did you just come to what we could term a close to near death?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were no, you know, I wasn't hospitalized.
Okay.
No.
You didn't stop breathing?
No cardiac arrest.
Stop. Okay.
No.
Okay.
So I guess you would call it a near death.
Okay. Okay.
He was mostly dead all day.
What kind? When you came to the threshold, and you perceived it as like what you discussed, like on the front of a TV screen.
Yep. As I approached that threshold, that's what it appeared as. And as I kind of shifted and expanded even beyond that, mm-hmm. it was like a vortex of energy that was surrounding me that kind of unfolded and opened.
And you felt love.
I think I talked to you about this a little bit, Doug, where, you know, it's a state that quantum physics calls the quantized state or like a granulated state where division and separation occur in order to create relationship, to have an experience to begin with.
Hmm.
So when you were in this, enmeshed in this experience, did you, aside from the fact that you felt that you encountered either a very loving energy, did you feel that you were having, in the presence of anybody else, friends, relatives that had passed over?
None at all.
Okay.
Just went straight there.
Okay.
You know, where everything is one.
Okay. Hmm. And then just came right back out of it?
I hate to... Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I'd say it kind of lasted for like 6 or 7 hours, close to 8.
Okay, all right.
And so it was this, you know, progression. Like I would liken it to like going up to the mountain peak and then coming back down.
Right.
You know, I had this sense coming back down where I want to say that there were planes of energy.
Mm-hmm.
One. Like it's kind of like dissecting my body, you know. It's like out of these planes from which my physical structure was actually coming into being, out of these fields of energy. So it was Go ahead.
What I was going to ask is, a lot of times folks that have a drug-induced experience like you had, often have these visions of machinery, of sophisticated. Sacred geometry. Also,
so some of that early.
They are witnessing events like they've almost like popped out of a dimension into another dimension in a sense. Did any of that happen with you?
Yeah, there were some interdimensional things like, you know, with mm-hmm. eyes closed and, you know, gear-type-like formations and kind of mechanistic.
Vivid colors
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me into, like the energy system again. In the East, they talk about the chakras and, basically they're wheels of light, vortexes of light.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that's what I was kind of experiencing is sending through those energy centers.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms... I'm sorry, did somebody...
I just said that was interesting stuff.
Michael, in your work, in your energy work and all that, what are some of the methods that you find the most effective?
Well, I let you explore the cocoon when we met last weekend, and those are some of the energy tools that I've utilized, and those are created by Advanced Tachyon Technologies, and they've been very effective tools in bringing balance and harmony back into the energy field.
Why don't you talk about the cocoon and explain that?
Sure. Well, the cocoon is made by Advanced Tachyon Technologies out of Santa Rosa, California, and they have a number of different tools. But the cocoon is designed, all of their tools are designed to bring something that quantum physics calls tachyons into your energy field. And from a quantum physics perspective, tachyons are the first things to emerge out of formlessness, or the field of formlessness, which they call zero point. And so these tachyons contain all of the frequencies for the manifest world that we're experiencing. And they're omnipresent as well. They're everywhere. And so basically what these tools do is they condense these tachyons or bring them together into your energy field, and they start nourishing all of these subtle organizing energy fields of your body to bring balance where there may be an obstruction, an energetic obstruction from, let's say, an emotional trauma. Have you ever, had something on your mind that you had to tell somebody and it was weighing on you heavily and you couldn't tell them, and all of a sudden you had the opportunity and you told them and you felt much lighter?
After you threw up? Yeah.
It's because you're releasing that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And until you've done that, that energy is actually creating a disharmony or an obstruction in that energy flow. And so what these tools do is they're non-frequency based. And so, they really nourish the entire spectrum of your energetic continuum. And when I say energetic continuum, that's all of those dimensions that come into existence out of formlessness down into physicality. So from the really, really subtle energetic realms into this dense world that we're perceiving as physical reality. And so they nourish these fields and gently encourage balance to come back into the body and these higher dimensional fields.
So explain about this cocoon. Now, I know that, of course, when I first heard the term, I didn't even know what to visualize, but it's not exactly a...
doesn't wrap you up completely.
Yeah, it's not like this thing you get in. It's explain how the cocoon thing works, what the tools are.
Well, there are silica discs. They kind of look almost like CDs, and they've been restructured at the submolecular level to act as an antenna for these tachyons. There's a cotton strip that encircles your center energy meridian or center energy channel, and there's an eye pillow that rests on your eyes. And by these tools being configured, your palms lay on the discs, and you have discs that hang off of your feet, and the eye pillow and the strap centering your center wrapped around your center energy channel. What it does is it creates this three-dimensional field of tachyons, and it envelops your body, so hence the terminology cocoon.
Mm-hmm. And you also do breathing with it, subject.
Yep. Do a little bit of breath work sometimes, depending on who I'm working with. They kind of open up the energy pathways, and it just makes the experience that much better, in my opinion, and in the opinion of other people I've worked with so far.
Okay. What are some other therapies that you've worked with that are you found?
Worked with spiritual response therapy, and really they're addressing like meta programs in the energy field.
Explain that a little bit for our audience. Sure. Meta programs, like a little subroutine going on there.
Yeah, sorry. So let's say that you're super conscious and you create this first individuation to have experience. So as you're doing that and going through all these experiences, within your energy field is all of the recordings from those events that you've experienced as a point of consciousness, collapsing these infinite potentials into life events. And so SRT addresses those programs within the energy field by shifting into like a deep theta state, brainwave state that allows them to connect with what's been termed your higher self or oversoul, and to work at that level at clearing those programs. Let's see, you had had an altercation, a past life, which you suffered a trauma from.
Mm-hmm.
You can carry that in your energy field and still be processing that information in your energy field in this current experience. And so basically what they're doing is tapping in and clearing that energy and clearing that imbalance.
And, just as a bit of a side note, you and I kind of talked about that last weekend, and I asked you
if
you believed in past lives, and you indicated that you didn't really necessarily believe in past lives, right?
Right.
And nor do I necessarily.
But everything I would say is going on right now. And so you can have, this is a tricky territory.
Yeah, I know.
Every slope, so
I know.
Go
ahead, I'll follow you.
Well, I've had some pretty amazing experiences with that. With the multidimensional cellular healing that I experienced the first time, this is very, very similar. And so, again, I would liken everything to like a DVD where all scenes are present now. And so your central nervous system is kind of like the DVD player, where it's collapsing a linear flow of experience out of that digital, nonlinear, everything present possibility. Does that make sense at all?
Or no? Mm-hmm. Sure it does.
Okay. So there's this, again, interconnectedness, and everything's running right now, and that's the tricky thing. It's a past life, future life, everything's going on right now.
Well,
I think
there's an interesting thing about the past life thing. Again, I don't know that I necessarily believe in past lives, although I've done a number of past life regressions, which are rather interesting and fascinating in and of themselves. And I have some theories about what's going on, but one of the things that I do know, and I know this not just from my own experience, but from many other people's, and I'm talking about hypnotherapist experiences, if you're afraid of the water, if a person's afraid of the water, and you go into and you do a past life regression, and you found out that you were, Buddy Rudd in a previous life, like in the 16th century, and you drowned in that previous life. And once you explore that, once you almost recognize it, once it comes out, it's very therapeutic for the person in the present tense, in the present life. And it's like they're no longer afraid of water or snakes or whatever it happens to be. And to me, that's a fascinating thing. So whether it's true or not, the therapy behind past life regressions and in an effort to find out the source of these fears is effective.
Because they want it, because it gives them something to hang their hat on, though. It gives them something to hang their hat on, and then by doing so, it's a cathartic experience for them, and if it's healing, so be it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And again, we're asking these questions now, but we're asking them from a finite viewpoint. For me, it's like there's only one consciousness experiencing ultimately. And so, you know, that's the only consciousness I would see that is re-embodying. So,
well,
do you understand where I'm going with that?
That it's all out there in the cosmic ocean, if you will?
Yeah, so to speak. That, you know, we're points of observation of that cosmic ocean. And so, you know, that one cosmic ocean is the only thing that is, you know, having experience. And so if we look at it from that standpoint, maybe we can come to some, you know, deeper conclusions about pathways.
Well, certainly should cure anybody's anxiety over being alienated, because if you look at it from the standpoint that it's something to rejoice, because if you look at it from the standpoint that we're all one part of this beautiful, elaborate tapestry, then, you know, it makes the world such a more marvelous place than it already is.
Yeah.
What's that?
And it also lends this, just by virtue of the fact alone, you know, if for folks that can't recognize or identify with any other kind of spirituality, they're certainly the most beautiful spirituality in that itself.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, from my experience, you know, been a shift in perception. Instead of top or bottom up, you know, which a lot of, you know, spiritual development type of programs kind of seem to orient you from that, I'm trying to rise up to something. For me, now it's this understanding that you are everything, and it's this mistaken identity that's causing all the problems, basically. You know, through identification with the body and the mind as being who and what you are, you create this positionality, and that positionality creates a sense of separation, and that sense of separation creates fear. And so as that process takes place, there's disharmony that's created. But as you've moved out of this state of unified wholeness, which is here, right here and now, the only thing that's separating us from that awareness is our belief structures that are based on sensory perception. Once we start getting into those belief structures and ultimately, like, again, clearing the clouds, that true sense of self emerges. So basically, the energetic therapies that have come across my path at this point and are helping me in this current modeling, so to speak, is, you know, it's a process of letting go and clearing out, so that which is your true self can emerge.
Okay, so let's go with that. You get somebody that comes to you and says, "Hey, you know, I'm clouded."
Yeah.
And what's your process? What do I, you know, I'm this person, let's suppose for a moment. I'm coming to you. Everything's clouded. What do I do? Where do I go?
Well, basically, I mean, you know, what I've been studying lately with a friend of mine is theta healing. And, you know, there are some aspects of it that don't resonate with me, but one of the primary core things is the belief work that they do. And so, you know, we'll look at what's going on in your life now, what's causing stress or disturbance in your life experience. And then we start this process that's called digging. And so basically what we're doing is running that associative chain in your neural net of what you identify with and what's creating this disharmony. So it's really a very interesting process as you take somebody into, like, for instance, okay, you know, I'm sad. Well, why are you sad? You know, and, well, what's the worst thing about that? And so it's this process of digging to get to the core issue. And once you get to the core issue where that energy has been repressed, everything kind of collapses out of the way and the clouds clear, so to speak, energetically. And as you do that, you get this deeper sense of understanding and this integration that brings you into this state of wholeness.
So you're talking about venting in a way?
I wouldn't say venting. I would say becoming aware of what is the core, the core issue that's causing the disturbance.
Well,
and it may be a motivation that you've created this in order to get a payoff or a benefit of some sort, you know. So let's say I like, for instance,
the payoff, don't you think, is that you become more enlightened And by becoming enlightened, then you realize you shed off all the false concepts that you've allowed to taint your life. And what you realize is you're enlightened enough to realize that we're all part of something bigger, much bigger and better than ourselves, and that we should seek comfort and solace in that fact alone. That, you know, most people unfortunately go through life feeling very alienated. You know, people don't even talk to their neighbors now, let alone communicate with themselves either spiritually or, whether it's through church or whatever your outlet is. And so it just seems to me, here's the irony of the whole thing to me, Michael, is the fact that, with all of that out there, we have to work. We have to learn that we're all interconnected. That's the purpose of the whole journey. Because there's this most marvelous energy out there, and, we're blind to it.
Mm-hmm. But then we have to ask the question, who or what is that that needs to work and needs to learn?
Well, we're all part of the process of evolving and learning. And I think there's some folks, and you'll readily admit this, that are stuck in a loop and never progress to the point. And I'm not saying this like we're an elite or anything, but I think that we contemplate these things. But I think there's other folks, depending on your background, your the foundations of your belief system, that never get to that point. That never look at it as a giant tapestry. That never realize that all of us, every living creature on this planet or in this whole entire universe, is interlinked.
Right, and is one.
And once you realize that, that's exhilarating. That's an epiphany.
Absolutely.
That's a psychological epiphany for anybody, a psychological and spiritual epiphany.
Yep. And that's what the digging process does, is help to clear that which is obscuring that realization.
Right. Right. But then again, the only other aspect that's also interesting would be the fact that the interaction between the spiritual and the actual physiological, and it may put a person physiologically, because of chemical changes or whatever, into a state where it's going to be tough to break. So even emotionally, you can't, correct something that is, physiological in nature. Although it may have been started sometimes by, extraneous stuff coming in or an imbalance to begin with.
So have you ever heard of cymatics?
No, I've never heard of that.
Okay. Cymatics is actually the study of sound, the effect of sound on matter. And so these scientists have done research where they've taken, particulate matter and put it on a plate and sent pumped certain frequencies through this plate. And it actually brings about, certain geometric forms.
Patterns. Mm-hmm.
Patterns, exactly. And so our thoughts are having that same effect on our physiology. So if you clear somebody at the emotional level, then that's going to affect your physiology, because that is a vibration and it is affecting your body at the cellular level.
Okay, this digging process, how does that happen again, just to sum up?
Well, if you have a problem, okay, you're currently experiencing a problem in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we just kind of sit down. It's almost like a yogic self-inquiry, okay, mm-hmm. into the nature of the structure of what you're perceiving as yourself. So we dig into your brain, so to speak, where you house all of this. I mean, basically, your mind is non-local, but from my point of view, it's the interface. Your brain is the interface with this non-local field.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we'll start running down how you encode your reality. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, what's the worst thing about that? Or what's the best thing about that?
Sure.
And as we do this, you gain insight into the very nature of how you're encoding your reality. And, many instances you might have had a trauma in early childhood. You didn't know how to process that information, so you repressed it. And unfortunately, it's still running in your unconscious. And so a lot of times we're doing things and we're reacting out of those past memories. And so what we're doing is digging into that neural net and finding out what's the underlying issue. And once you do that, it kind of exposes everything that's going on in your outer experience, so to speak.
Reminds me of
Bayonetta. The difference between that and psychoanalysis. What's the difference between that and psychoanalysis?
Okay. I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not quite certain, to be honest with you.
Psychoanalysis essentially looks at previous trauma, just described, and mm-hmm. what they try to do is, like when Freud had people lay on the couch, he would talk to them and try to get at this trauma or experience mm-hmm. by going back and probing repressed memories. Which, in a sense, is essentially what you guys are doing. And I mean, that's great, you know, if you can get folks to do it.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, psychoanalysis, you know, in traditional setting, a lot of psychiatrists don't do it because it takes so long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you have something that's very, very repressed and very traumatic, you're really going to have to work at it.
Okay.
But that sounds like there's a big similarity there.
Okay, so now here we come into, I guess, a more advanced application, okay? You've heard of the observer effect, right? Doug
mm-hmm.
and I talked a little bit about that mm-hmm. last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, quantum physics talks about this entanglement where when you observe something, you're entangling with it, and there's this information exchange that's going on with what you're observing and yourself in this process of experiencing. Okay.
Well, you actually change the experience by virtue of your observation.
Exactly. And so how are you doing that? You can entangle with somebody's energy field and go into a deeper brainwave state. You can access, like theta, okay? Theta brainwave state, you know, a lot of consciousness explorers have discovered theta is actually a bridge between the physical and non-physical worlds. And so by shifting into theta and training with that person's energy field, Doug, this is similar to, you know, hypnotherapy. You're going through this induction, and you're taking them into this deeper brainwave state in order to clear out that programming or fear. Correct? Or is that how that's working?
Yes, essentially. You basically bring awareness to it and reprogram it, if you will.
Okay. So this process is similar to that, where you're in training, using the terminology of this healing modality, where you're in training or coupling with that person's energy field, and you're assisting them to raise their energy or shift their energy into this deeper state where those things kind of become malleable, okay? And you can guide them to identify the issue and then access the theta state to connect with your superconscious mind to clear that energy. So basically, I mean, when I've worked with people, especially doing the rebirthing and breath work, it's very common to have a major emotional release and you experience the trauma over again, and that's not necessary. You can actually shift and entangle and entrain with that person's energy field and clear all of that traumatic energy surrounding the event so they don't have to experience it again. Unlike, you know, how you have somebody kind of step out of the experience so they look at
mm-hmm.
it, you know, from a third-party perspective.
Right.
So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to avoid that that eruption of emotion. So basically, once we identify the core issue and get to the trauma, we can clear the trauma energy that's around that and that's running, so to speak, in their energy field and release that. Because that is the energy that's causing that obstruction and the energy flow in keeping everything out of balance to begin with.
Interesting. All right, so if somebody wants to go there and have you help them, and by the way, Michael's in the St. Petersburg, Florida area, how can they contact you? Through your website? You want to mention?
Yep, through masterthematrix.com. And all the contact information is there, and generally I get back to you within at least 24 hours, if not sooner.
That's good. And so Michael's website is masterthematrix.com, correct, Michael?
Yep.
Yep. and you can explore some of these different therapies. So we've got less than 5 minutes to go. Anything that you want to get out there, or anything that you've discovered that's burning to get out?
you know, it's just been this amazing process of integration, and, you know, that's why it's, you know, a lot of the things that are surfacing and emerging for me right now, it's like it's presenting itself in a new way for me. And so, you know, again, it's just this process of integration that's taking place, and all of these tools are kind of merging into something and morphing into something different. I really don't know how to verbalize it at this moment, but it's pretty profound.
Here's a question from Mike in the chat room. So does thought in itself produce harmonic shifts in the person's field?
Absolutely. There's research being done right now at HeartMath Institute where they're exploring the effects of thought on biological material. You know, they've actually been able to wind and unwind DNA at a distance. And they're also discovering that the DNA is actually like the antenna that is bringing in and transmitting this information to this to zero point, or the absolute, or that formlessness that holds all the information for what's being expressed in form. So they're doing some amazing research. In Greg Braden and his video out a while ago, Awakening to Zero Point, they really go into that more so. It's pretty amazing stuff, though.
So where do you see yourself in the future? What's your direction? What's your objectives and goals?
Well, my objectives and goals are pretty big, I guess. I've had some experiences with facilitating instantaneous healing, and I think that's where we're headed. We're awakening to this realization of, you know, this very structure of reality, and that our thoughts are affecting our reality, and that our belief patterns are kind of like the cookie cutter template that brings about that experience. So if we can shift our beliefs, we can shift our reality. In not only the flow of events that come to our point of observation for experience, but also in our physiology. There's a doctor that I studied with who's an osteopath, amazing guy. He's opening up 85 energetic wellness centers around the world, and his web address is neurowellness.com. He's actually sourcing at the atomic level and shifting the information at that level, and it's affecting the physiology of the body. So he's able to tap into that field, that pure consciousness that permeates permeates the body at the atomic level, and is sourcing information from that level into the physical structure. So that's where I'm headed in realizing that potential.
Sounds great. Well, Michael, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight and talk about some of this stuff. It is fascinating.
I hope it wasn't too convoluted.
Oh, no.
Great job.
Other than it totally sucking, I think we made some headway.
You did a great job, Michael. You really enlightened our audience, and we really appreciate your perspective.
And what's amazing, Michael, I just want to just point this out, and then I'll let you wrap it up. That what's amazing is the overlap in so much of what we do, because in our field of anomalous research, you know, we're looking for the connections. We're looking for the things that tie things together, and I believe they're there. I believe there is a connection between a lot of these different things that we're studying, and this overlaps, and it's part of the puzzle, if you will. So, again, thanks so much for taking your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, yeah.
I look forward to meeting with you again, Doug.
Yeah, you as well. And if you'll hang with us for just a moment, we also appreciate our listeners showing up again. We appreciate it every week. Grant's
always good to have you with us.
Yeah, I know. Grant's probably paying y'all. What do you do? up your rate?
They're all on the Paranexus payroll, Doug.
Oh, good. Well,
you'll
know what?
Go to the treasury funds.
And I think that's a good idea. Grant, consider yourself getting a double raise. We're going to double your...
Oh, all right. That's what I like to hear, especially around the holidays. A holiday bonus.
Yeah, so anyway, interesting stuff. Folks, take a look at paranexus.org. If you haven't been there, we'd love to have you as a member. And again, we are in the works of setting up the Field Investigator Network. That's going to be a month or two down the road, but we're in the development stage. Also, our technical development coordinator, Mike Jones, is in the throes of updating our registry, our database of anomalous events, and it's going to be much simpler. Pardon me?
Both you and Mike are doing a mighty fine job, I might add.
Well, he's the thank you. He's the actually the taking the lead on that, and he's doing a fabulous job. He's a pretty capable guy, and we appreciate having him on staff. So, anyway, keep that in mind. And next week is Christmas Day, so we are not going to have a show next week. The week after, on January 1st, what we'd like to do is a show on predictions. So, you know, it may not mean much, but what do you think's coming up in 2009? If you are psychically sensitive, have you gotten anything? We're also going to cover some of the common predictions or the public predictions that others have made. So it should be an interesting show, perhaps a bit fun, and probably give us some perspective on what we may or may not want to go with. Anyway, so that's in 2 weeks. Until then, we wish everybody happy holidays. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Grant, always a pleasure.
Hey, same here, Doug. It was great having Mike on the show, and happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, everybody take care. We'll talk to you again soon. Good night.
Bye.
Paranexus Universe.